This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Overwhelmed. So this week, if you've been paying attention to the news, you might have seen some stories that would have been hard to miss. Some stories about the overwhelming dangers of deep water. The Titan submersible was out, headed down to the depths, the crushing depths near the Titanic. And all week it had been lost, and finally, at the end of the week, it had been found. The thing crushed by the power of deep water. It wasn't the only story of water this week. There was also the tragedy off the coast of Greece, where 750 refugee migrants were aboard a boat, a small fishing boat where they were packed in tight. And through whatever means, the boat capsized. Some say that there was too many people on one side of the boat. It tipped into the water. Estimates put the death count at over 500 people who died in the water. This week was a reminder of the dangers of the water and the ocean. Dangers that were very real to the people who wrote our scriptures. Dangers that they had no misgivings or no questions about. The sea was a dangerous, overwhelming place. Perhaps it's because of those ancient fears of deep water and what goes on there that our attention was so captivated by these stories this week. Like Jonah getting swallowed up by the whale, or creation itself being formed out of the chaos of water. In our psalm this morning, as David sings to God out for help, God hears the words of David say, "I am being overwhelmed. Do not let the flood swallow me up. Do not let the deep sweep over me. Answer me, O God. Answer me and come to my aid. Using these images of deep waters, David talks to God from a place of being absolutely overwhelmed, being cast aside by those with words, being surrounded by enemies with weapons. David faces great odds. And as his story goes, no matter the odds that he faces, he always returns to God. He comes back to God and prays out to God and says, God, help me in the midst of this trouble. As Jesus speaks to us this morning, I have trouble not feeling overwhelmed. Jesus has a lot to say this morning, and the words that he has to share are overwhelming words. In the context of Jesus' words this morning, he is giving them out to his apostles, whom he has called and named, the 12 apostles who we heard named last week. He's named them and he's sending them out as sheep among wolves. And as he sends them out into the world, as he sends them out to bear his message to the towns and the countryside of the people of Israel, Jesus shares these words. It's not quite the commencement speech that I figured Jesus might give. If you listen to commencement speeches as they've happened over the course of this graduation season, it's usually not how they go. Commencement speeches usually are hopeful, filled with encouragement. Congratulations that you've got this far, and encouragement to go the rest of the way. A lot of Jesus' words this morning are not that. They are a challenge instead. And they threaten nearly everything that we have and everything that we are without God, apart from God. But they do not threaten who we are in God. Instead, they speak to that. Jesus speaks to his disciples with these overwhelming words. Words like, you're going to be called some pretty rotten names. They called me a demon, Lord of death and the flies, dung master, Beelzebul. What names do you think they're going to heap on you? You will come and it won't be peaceful. You're going to go out there and it's going to be hard. It's not going to be peaceful. You might face some swords. And you won't have anything with you. I've already told you, don't bring anything along. In fact, as you go out, not only will you not have anything with you, you may not even have your family by your side. For I've come to set families against one another, generations against one another. This is a difficult word. Set me against my children? I don't know, Jesus. Have you seen my daughter? She's really cute. And my son is pretty fun. I don't know about this setting against them, but Jesus says, I will. And he also speaks of more. He speaks of a cross. He speaks of losing your life. And as he commissions his apostles and through the scriptures speaks to us this morning, it threatens so much of the core of our life, our very families, our very lives. We wonder at this overwhelming ask, but what if, Jesus, what if you're wrong? What if I follow you and it doesn't turn out well? What if I'm end up looking foolish. I mean, that would be just the lowest hanging bad thing that might happen, is I might follow Jesus, follow you, and I might end up looking foolish. Kind of like the girl in my Spanish class growing up, who had some familiarity with the Spanish language, but not fluent familiarity with the Spanish language. And one of her friends, who was more fluent in the Spanish language, was trying to teach her about what to say in certain situations, and said, well, if you ever feel embarrassed, this is how you say it in Spanish. Estoy muy embarazada. And one time she was out and at a market in Mexico looking for some medicine at the pharmacy so she could heal a tummy ache that she had had. And she went up to the clerk and tried to say, I'm so embarrassed, can you help me? She said, Estoy muy embarazada. ¿Puedes ayudarme? And the clerk just started laughing at her because she didn't look that pregnant. Because estoy muy embarazada means I am very pregnant. And her friend had a laugh and she looked foolish. Sometimes, maybe, do you worry that Jesus might just be having a laugh? I mean, he said it in the dark, and we're supposed to say it in the light. Why didn't you say it in the light, Jesus? What if that thing that you whispered in my ear and I say it out loud actually makes me feel foolish? What if Jesus is wrong? We want to care for our families, put our families first in our minds. What if Jesus tells us to cast that aside? And what if Jesus is wrong? And now the family that we had in hand is against us. Or what about the cross? Losing your life? What if Jesus was wrong about all that? And so, maybe we don't think Jesus was wrong necessarily. We're here, we're people of faith. We've gathered on a Sunday morning to worship God and to hear his words. And so, maybe we do think Jesus has something to say to us, to our situation, to our circumstance. But it is a big, overwhelming ask after all. So maybe we just take a soft response. It's a big ask, Jesus. Maybe we'll just sidestep the big step and soft step into our journey of faith. Maybe not make the leap of faith, but dip our toes in the water. Everything in moderation, after all. We're not going to follow you enough to look kooky or foolish. History is full of kooky and foolish people associated with Christianity. They don't need any more of those. We'll just be moderate and mindful. And yet Jesus says to us this morning, a word. And if you hear that word, you just might wonder, but what if he's right? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one sparrow will fall to the ground, but your Father in heaven knows it. And all the hairs on your head are counted. God has every hair on my head counted. God cares about me so much, knows me so deeply, and I am so deeply known to God. What if Jesus is right after all? What if God indeed died in Jesus so that I and you, we might live, might truly live? Not just in eternity, but also in this life. That is also an overwhelming possibility. That the Creator of the universe would have such care and love for you as the perfect beautiful, imperfect individual that you are, that God has made you to be, and has overwhelming love for. It's overwhelming to think of a love that deep. It's overwhelming to consider a redemption that complete. It's overwhelming to be offered a salvation that eternal. So yes, consider that our mortal lives might be lost, but in Christ, our eternal self can never be lost. Because who we are, who I am, who you are, who we are, has been written in the heart of God since before the creation of us on this planet, in this body, in this life. For God knew you before you were formed in the womb. God knows you. God loves you. God redeems you. It is a total love, an overwhelming love, a love that speaks to the depths of who we are and who we might be. It is a powerful and overwhelming reality. In God, what Jesus speaks is that there, in this relationship, in this community, in this relationship with God, we might truly find ourselves. In losing the self that we think we are, we find the true self that we always have been in God. This summer, we're inviting the congregation to be. Over the next few weeks into July, we're going to have a sermon series on who we are as people together. Who we are as people written in the heart of God. And we'll be asking questions about who we are, who, what, when, where, and why, as we ponder that CTKB identity. And as long with that, we're also inviting us as a community to be generous and to build community amongst one another and beyond ourselves. One of the places that we have identified as a council that can benefit from our support is the Lutheran Campus Ministries at the University of Minnesota. Our young people are facing an epidemic of mental health of outrageous historic proportions. They're hurting in ways that young people haven't hurt before. Nearly 50% report feeling depressed most days. Almost a quarter report having thought of suicide. There is an epidemic of mental health among our young people and an epidemic of loneliness across our community. And it's especially there in that community of young people as well. But there are those who are building places of community where this voice of hope and love, that overwhelming love of Christ, is proclaimed. One of those is the Lutheran Campus Ministries there, that invites students into leadership to become a community for themselves and for the sake of the university. And they are doing some fantastic work. And over the course of these next few weeks, I invite you to be curious and to learn more about that, to come on the 9th of July when their pastor is with us and to hear her words about that community as she shares them. And then as we learn, I invite you to indeed be generous, to step out a little bit more in faith, to offer a little bit more of yourself for the sake of this mission that we share. And all we might lose is worth everything we might gain. For in Christ, we have everything there is. And that is an overwhelming thought. Amen.
tribal.